Welcome to the Foxworthy Podcast. I'm Brian Fox, your host. I'm here with my co-host, Taylor Gaines.
Hello!
We are having a post-Thanksgiving sort of TV lull, I would say. So we're going to go a little bit backwards. I know that the last time we recorded, we said we were going to do a lot of things that we actually didn't do.
We're going to do some of them today.
Some of them we're going to get to.
I actually had someone text me and say, way to promise that you'd be back next week and then not come back.
But, you know, we're not going to make any excuses. It's just we just keep saying that life gets in the way, but it really does. And
I'd say this time it really did. It used to just come in the way in, like, trivial college student ways.
Right.
But I think it actually sort of came in the way for a few weeks.
I mean, straight up, we did have a holiday. I was gone for almost an entire week, basically, on a sort of Thanksgiving vacation. You've been busy working, and I've been busy working, but I think we did say that we were going to tell the people some thoughts on the season, current Netflix season of Black Mirror, and we're going to do that at the end of the episode, so if you're worried about being spoiled, we'll save that till the end, and we'll let you know when we're getting into that conversation, so you can X out and opt out of that.
X out.
But I think we're going to talk about two things that have both wrapped up now that we talked about earlier in the season, but I think we just kind of wanted to get through some general overall thoughts and kind of where we hope to see these shows go or where they kind of landed for us as like a whole season. So I think we're going to talk about You're the Worst first. They finished their third season, and we're going to talk about the freshman season of Atlanta, which I think we both really liked, and we've talked about it.
They are both FX, right? Is one of them on FX?
Technically, You're the Worst is FXX. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they're both kind of under the FX umbrella. So yeah, so You're the Worst is over for the year. I think we talked, the last time we might have talked about it was maybe the kind of mid-season Edgar episode that was like all about Edgar. I think we did a little.
Yeah, I think
we did a little bit on that.
That was the best episode of the season for me.
Okay, that's fair.
I ended up being most, which is weird because So You're the Worst is
give us a take.
You're the Worst is a comedy.
The people have been waiting for us to have something to say.
They've been waiting. It's a comedy, right? So
I mean, yeah.
But over the course of its three seasons, it's sort of morphed more into the half hour that TV sort of lauds now.
This sort of malleable, like, it can do anything, it can be anything, which is an idea that we've definitely talked about before.
And it actually does really well with those more serious episodes. I can't remember a specific episode, but the way that it handled the depression arc in season two with Gretchen,
that was excellent.
Was really powerful.
Yeah.
And the way it handled the PTSD stuff with Edgar early on this season was really great. And I actually really enjoyed the second to last episode. Maybe it was the
one
last
that was kind of shot almost as if it was being done in one take.
No, there were three arguments going on simultaneously between three different couples.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that they aired the 11th and 12th episodes of the season back to back.
Okay.
So the
11th.
So I think it was episode 11 was the arguments one. Where it was three different. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
The arguments one. Yeah, yeah.
And I really enjoyed that too. Just sort of the way that things boiled over. My struggle with the show.
Yeah, tell me about your problems with it.
Because I feel like
we've praised it a lot in the past.
My problem is the line between the serious and the comic is so confusing for me.
Okay.
Because they handle the serious stuff well, but it doesn't feel like it goes in concert with some of the comic stuff, because like Lindsay is such an idiot and like
unapologetically so, yeah.
Like she's so stupid that I have such a hard time taking her serious things seriously
and letting them have any kind of weight.
Yeah, and that's sort of my general problem with my connection to the show, is that they do some of the serious stuff really well, but a lot of times in the back of my head is the comic stuff just like weighing it in this other direction where I have a hard time. I mean, maybe I'm missing the boat here, but I just sort of feel like I don't understand how I can get connected to all the characters when they're so cartoonish one minute and so human and real the next.
Right. I will give you that. I feel like it's more of a problem for the secondary characters than it is for the leads. Obviously, Gretchen and Jimmy, we've seen them kind of doing a lot of the, like, heavy lifting of some of the dramatic stuff, especially, like you said, with the depression stuff in the second season. Some of that was, like, expertly done, like, beautifully performed and, like, really powerful. But I feel like exactly what you're saying, I kind of agree, like, the problem with, like, the Lindsay character is, like, she's so broad and she's so dumb and, like, she's so unapologetically selfish, and we're supposed to care about her. And I will say, I will just shout out this because it sticks out in my mind. Like, the line that I think they titled the episode off of you knew it was a snake or whatever, was like, I don't want to say it was like emotional, but it was like, well, damn, that may be like the smartest thing she's ever said, or like the most like real, like it's awful. Like, it's an awful idea that like she knows she's an awful person and Paul supposedly knew who she was when he married her and he married her anyway. But, like, and she's been awful to him.
Well, that's the thing, is I was just going to bring up that exact
but
moment.
But it's just so, like, you didn't like it, or it didn't play for you?
She comes out and she's like, you knew it was a snake, when you picked it up, or whatever she says. My reaction was like, oh, come on. She wouldn't have thought of something that smart, unless, like, someone... The way I thought that show would have handled that is, like, having someone say that to her earlier in the episode and explain to her what it meant, and then have her, like, stupidly try to repeat it,
right.
Because it felt way too smart for
her. I mean, that's a fair point, but I guess the reason that it landed for me is because it did feel just, like, real. Like, I felt like it was, like, a real idea and a real thing that I think couples have to grapple with is, like...
Yeah.
Sometimes you love someone even though they might not be right or it might not work out.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
was just
no,
sort
I,
of
I
th- a thing that I thought
the,
was something...
That's the thing that's weird about it to me is the stuff that they touch on is very true and very real. It just doesn't totally click on the balance scale for me, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's a good show and it's very funny and very entertaining. Like, the episode where they went around doing the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
It was, like, really entertaining.
And that had the fireworks scene with Edgar that was also really kind
yeah,
of emotionally,
and,
like, affecting.
And they handle a lot of the human stuff very well. Like, I think it's a good show. I can never quite get all the way in with it because of the broadness of some of the...
Yeah, I think that's fair. But I think, in some ways, its flaws are sort of... make it more interesting and more fascinating, and I'm not the first person to say this, but I've heard other people describe it as sort of messy, and I think the messiness does kind of add something to it, even though it's not always reaching its full potential, or it's not always succeeding at what it's trying to do. But really quick, so we can move on, let's just talk about the ending. I mean, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about, like, the last
few... Well, real
few...
quick, before you get to the ending...
Okay.
I was just going to say, you also can't win when you're making a TV show like this.
I mean,
because
yeah.
You're going to have people like me who will... I assume who will have that criticism, and then people who will criticize the second season for not having any jokes.
Right.
Or being too serious.
Right, so, and it's finding that middle ground and
it's hard.
Sort of
it's,
happy medium.
I think they do a good job. I just think that sometimes the seems show a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I will say, like, just to give some sort of negative criticism, is I do appreciate the experimentation, and I do appreciate sort of the way that they're willing to let each episode be different. Like, you had the Edgar-centric episode that was basically all Edgar and Edgar's a day in the life of Edgar, and it gave us so much perspective, and we got to know him a lot more. But then a few episodes later, they had the episode that I didn't care for even a little bit with Paul and Vernon.
Oh.
Going out and getting stuck out in the woods, and, like, I didn't think it was funny, and I didn't think it really, like, told us, like, I just didn't really need to spend that time with those characters, and I'm sure people are divided on that. I'm sure some people did find it funny or found it refreshing or interesting, but it didn't work for me. But then you had the episode, it might have been episode 9 or 10, where they're at the wedding of one of the rappers, and it's kind of shot in a way where it seems like it's one continuous shot, like they just keep skirting from room to room and you're following different people and sort of getting... it was just a different way to do an episode, and they have never done something like that, and I do appreciate that experimentation.
Yeah.
But
so,
real quick, though...
So,
like,
spoiler alert, skip forward, like, 2 minutes.
Right, because we're going to talk about the very end of the season, which is, pretty cliffhanger-y. I mean, they kind of give us something like that at the end of each season, where there's a little bit of uncertainty for the future of, like, Jimmy and Gretchen, or...
So he proposes to her.
Right.
And then she says... the magic words that immediately make him regret proposing to her. She's like, we're a family, right after he just said he was post-family and stuff.
Right.
And then he just leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she did realize at the end that he wasn't coming back, right? At least in that moment, at least.
I think so.
So, I mean...
But obviously, it got renewed for another season. There's still more show. So, let me ask you this, just so we can move on. Like, do you think that this was, like, an effective way to end the season? Or do you think that this is sort of a tired... I mean, I feel like what this show doesn't do is constantly... break them up and get them back together and break them up and get them back together. But it always, there's always a bit of uncertainty about if they're going to make it in the end, you know, like once they got together, they've more or less stayed together through all their trials and tribulations. But, I mean, it kind of echoed the scene at the end of the first season that was very graduate-esque, where you see both of their reactions once they decide to move in together. It had that same sort of thing about
well,
it.
Well, they do that a lot. That's why I was kind of tired.
I guess
of
what
it.
I'm asking of you, what I guess that's what I'm asking is, are you kind of exhausted with that?
I was kind of annoyed by it because, you know, they have this sort of thing where you can feel towards the end of an episode that it's not going to end the way it appears it's going to end.
Right.
Like, there was even the one horrible ending where the drawer literally popped open. Do you remember that? Where the camera was just on the drawer and it popped open because they tried to stuff all their baggage or extra shit. I forgot. They tried to stuff all of their extra stuff into it, and it just popped back open. Like, it was the most on the nose. Metaphor thing, I guess.
Right.
And they do that a lot, so I was kind of annoyed just because I knew it wasn't going to end. Because if you've watched the show for three seasons, you just know it's not going to end right there.
Right.
But I don't know. You said you thought it was pretty effective, right?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but I mean, I know that they're not over or whatever,
right.
But like, I don't know. I think I like the show maybe a little bit more than you do overall, and I kind of root for them, and I guess it's just so like different, and it's so much its own thing, and like Stephen Falk, the showrunner and one of the, you know, main writers is like, you know, he's a pretty smart guy, it seems like, and he's just kind of like, we're making our show, and we're doing our thing, and, like, we're kind of trying to push the boundaries and sort of get rid of sort of the tropes of romantic comedies.
3 minutes.
Do our own thing.
We gave a 2-minute warning, that was 3 minutes. But you know what else is different and does its own thing?
Atlanta.
And I think we would both agree is amazing.
It's amazing.
You know what I was thinking as I watched the season one finale of Atlanta? What was the name of it? The Jacket?
Yeah, The Jacket.
And maybe the title made me think this, too, but I feel like Atlanta is our Seinfeld.
I mean...
it's basically about nothing, but it's a group of people who is super fun to hang out with, goes through hilarious situations, and the show can be about anything and nothing at the same time, and they've done so many different things just in this one season.
Right.
I mean, obviously Seinfeld has more confines as far as a broadcast show in the 90s or whatever. But when I was watching that finale, that's all I could think was, we have potentially an epic comedy on our hands. And
this show could literally be made for forever. I mean,
it also could be over.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I saw Donald Glover is coming out with a new album as Childish Gambino next week, I think.
Really?
And, you know, he's the kind of guy, he might never make another season of Atlanta.
I mean, did it get picked up, or have they never announced?
I don't think they've announced. I think they've been discussing it with him.
That's right. I think I heard that it's definitely been discussed, and I think there are ideas on the table, and it's more than likely going to be picked up. But they have to work around his schedule, because he also got cast in the young Han Solo movie as Lando Calrissian, which is kind of a big deal. Like,
there are some reports,
it's a pretty big thing,
that it's been renewed. When you Google it, but I'm not gonna get too into it right now. But
that's fine.
But yeah, like he's a rapper. He's a movie star. He's about to be a movie star.
And clearly, someone who creatively, like, people just need to give him more space to work, more room to just do whatever he wants to do.
I mean,
I don't even know if there's anything else we need to say about it. Like, honestly, go watch the first season.
This is like a show where I'm gonna buy the DVD.
Like, it's terrific.
It's. I don't even want to really say anything about it. If you haven't watched it yet, just go watch it.
I couldn't even pick a favorite episode. Could you?
No.
I mean,
the first one that comes to my mind when I start laughing to myself is definitely the Juneteenth one.
I was just going to say, the funniest one, I feel like, just like overtly like laugh out loud funny was that one.
Yeah, because that was one where I was at home watching it by myself and I was laughing like an idiot. So.
All right, well...
Let's
that's fine. We can move on.
Leave it at that.
FX's Atlanta is terrific. go watch it. Season one, probably still on the FX website, I would imagine.
If not, it's worth paying for wherever you can get
It's 10 half-hour episodes, and it's worth it. Moving on, we're going to talk about, I know we said we were going to rank all of Black Mirror, like all 13 episodes in existence of Black Mirror. That is actually a lie. We are not going to do that. We are going to simply rank the the six episodes. Listen, we don't have to point fingers or place any blame on anyone. I have been doing other things with my time other than just sit and watch television. All right. Well, we're gonna rank these six episodes of the Netflix season, the third season, quote unquote, of Black Mirror.
Let's do it.
So, how do you want to do this?
Let's go 6-1.
You want me to just hit mine and you hit yours and go back and forth? So, Shut Up and Dance was the worst one of the season.
Yes,
I think
I actually came close to putting Men Against Fire number six, just because I thought it was much lazier.
Well, yeah, I just really was like,
but Shut Up and Dance is the worst.
It's turned my stomach, and I just I watched the first three in a row, and Shut Up and Dance was the third one, and the first two I really enjoyed, which we'll get to, but the third one was Shut Up and Dance, and I literally had to, I was just like, you know what, I'm going to stop and come back to these other ones and maybe watch them.
I mean, I've said this before, that I have only ever watched Black Mirror one at a time.
But
Shut Up and Dance was just bad. It was depressing to watch, and also the ending didn't make it any, didn't even make it like a fulfilling story.
No, it wasn't really the payoff.
Thing popping up on everyone's phone. I didn't like that one.
Yeah, so that one was rough. Obviously, we're getting into spoilers. Each one of these stories stands alone. So if you haven't watched any of them, or you've only watched some of them, like, we're gonna potentially spoil them for you. So.
And if you haven't, don't listen to this part.
Yeah, honestly, it's great. These are great.
Other than the two we're talking about in this particular moment. Other than
the
moment.
I would say the two that are like are the bottom of our rankings are not really worth it, but the other four of the season are definitely worth it.
Yeah.
And I think the ratio is typically much the good ones. There's a lot more good ones than bad ones overall in the series. But they are better, just generally better and more enjoyable if you know next to nothing about them.
Let's get through these two. So Shut Up and Dance is bad. Men Against Fire was bad.
It was kind of bad, yeah.
It was like soldiers are trained to hate
enemy. Called it lazy, and that was sort of the thing, is like, once they reveal the twist, it was like, well, no duh.
Yeah.
And then it was just sort of like, well, this is what the whole episode is built on, like, this isn't enough, really. Like, it just wasn't enough, but, well, I mean, the idea of it, I guess, the bones of the idea are not so terrible, but I feel like the execution was definitely just lacking.
So I think our 3 and 4 and our 1 and 2 are going to be the same. I don't know if they're going to be in the same order, mm-hmm. but I think our 3 and 4 is going to be in no particular order. Well, I'll just do it in chronological order before we say what order we have it in. It's going to be Nosedive, the first episode of the season, and Hated in the Nation, the last episode of the season, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So which one of those do you have number 3?
You mean number 4?
No, 3. Which one do you have higher?
Oh, which one do I have higher of those two? Mm-hmm. I have Nosedive is higher for me.
Okay.
Then Hated in the Nation.
Because I have Hated in the Nation 3, Nosedive 4.
Oh, I see what's happening.
I'm just setting it up so that, because I think we're just going to have these next two flipped.
Right.
Just like those two. So
Well, they're both pretty good.
Yeah, those were both just like good episodes of Black Mirror. I have Hated in the Nation higher because I enjoyed it as like an action thriller detective movie.
Yeah, very much so.
And it was kind of surprising and unpredictable.
This is going to go against, well, no, not really, because, well, yeah, it is, because I put it as 4 and you put it as 3, right?
Yeah.
So, this is the only one of these six that I've actually watched twice.
Oh, really?
Because I wanted to show, my mom really likes, like, she loves, like, British crime thrillers, like, basically anything made by the BBC, and she also likes sci-fi, and to me, this was, like, the perfect sort of almost X-Files-y, Twilight Zone-y, but it's also, like, the first, like, 30 minutes of it, it just feels like kind of like a crime drama. Like, they're just solving, like, a mystery, like, British police. And it was one of the only, I think it was the only episode of the season, right, that was, like, actually, like, set in the UK?
I think Playtest was as well.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
And it's also, like, a Sherlock episode.
Like, where 30 minutes longer?
Well,
it's an hour and a half as opposed to an hour.
But, like, that episode where everybody has bombs strapped to them and you're, like, running around town trying to do each thing. It was sort of like that at moments, too. I just really enjoyed the different like phases of it, and
how it just kept going and kept evolving, and you're like, oh, this is gonna be over. No, there's more. There's another twist. There's another thing.
And I thought the ending was like really interesting. Mm-hmm. And the reason I put it ahead of Nosedive is just because as much as I enjoyed Nosedive, especially as the first episode of the season, it was pretty predictable, and you sort of know where it's going the whole time.
Agreed. That's
but,
fair.
But tell me why you have Nosedive higher.
And maybe this is, I mean, maybe this is just the way that I like to, my criteria for judging things, like personally, like visually, it was like pretty stunning. So I put it higher for that, like just sort of aesthetically and artistically, even though the story, as you said, was pretty predictable. I did find it just like really interesting to look at. And like, I couldn't like take my eyes off the screen. And I just really liked the way they made the sort of interfaces of all the technologies look and all of that stuff. Like, I just really
they do
liked
a good
that.
Job with that in all of these, though.
Yeah,
I'm always impressed
but,
by that.
It was directed by Joe Wright, who's like a filmmaker known kind of for the like, period visual style. He did like Atonement and like Anna Karenina and some other. Like, he's kind of known for doing these kind of lush visual things, and so like I just kind of got that from that episode. And also the ending was like kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was an interesting ending.
It was a
too.
Little bit of a like a little wrinkle,
arguably
a
the
little...
most positive Black Mirror ending, except for maybe an episode we're about to talk about, maybe.
That's true.
So obviously our 2 and 1 are the same, but I have a feeling we probably have those flips.
I think there's flip too. Because but go ahead.
My number two is San Junipero.
And I had that as number one.
Number one is Playtest.
So those are flipped for me, for us too. But these two honestly are the best, no question.
And they're great.
They're
hands down.
They're not
amazing.
Just good. They're great. Like honestly, if you don't watch any of the other ones, just watch these two, and you'll be like, okay, cool. Like I got like the cream of the crop. Like,
at least in
the
third season,
here,
yeah,
for sure.
I was pretty much blown away by both of these. I just put Playtest higher because I really, really loved the experience of watching it.
That's, yeah.
But San Junipero is probably more interesting until, you know, sit on your yoga mat and think about it.
Correct.
Something.
I feel like it has more to say, and it's sort of, in terms of thinking about it, it definitely, there's a lot more to unpack, and it's a little bit deeper. And I think, in general, with most art, I tend to respond to things that draw out certain emotions in me. It's like, even though Playtest was like thrilling and like really entertaining and looked cool and it was just awesome as hell, like San Junipero appealed to me more. Like, it appealed to my heart more.
Well, let me say this about Playtest though. That's one of the reasons I have it number one too, is the episode does to you what it does to the character.
Right.
Where he walks in and they say, we're gonna scare you. And he's like, okay. And then obviously, it scares him, and
right,
all that other stuff happens. But
yeah, no spoilers, but holy God.
Well, we said we were going to do spoilers.
Well,
but
I mean, let's not, though.
Not too much.
That's a freaking terrific episode. Like, it's
well,
great to just
let me say
that.
This. Skip forward a minute.
Okay, yes. Yeah, yeah.
I was sort of blown away by the way that it acts like it's going to scare you with jump scares and, like, horror movie tropes.
Right.
But it winds up scaring you by showing you what it's like to get Alzheimer's.
Right.
Which I thought was horrifying, and that stuck with me from that episode a lot. I think the ending probably had one twist too many on it, but just the experience of that whole episode and the way that it wound up being pretending to be about this one thing and then punching you in the gut with another thing.
Right.
It was something I was really blown away by.
That is actually a really interesting point that you say that, because it does, they do set it up as this sort of like, oh, he's stuck in a cabin alone and like, what's going to like pop out and scare him? And there's like a couple of jump scares, but then by the end, like what you're actually terrified by is like the
like
consequences
deep, like,
and the
visceral
repercussions of,
yeah.
And like, just a like short anecdote about my life, not that people care that much, but like about a week after I watched Playtest, I went over to my friend's house who just got the PlayStation VR, and literally as I was like strapping it onto my face, I was just like, why do I feel like this is like, maybe I shouldn't do this, like this is like kind of Black Mirror-y, like am I gonna get stuck in this, or like is my consciousness forever gonna be altered by like playing a video game?
It's great.
But yeah.
And San Junipero is great too, but I just have it number two just because I like Playtest
more. Well,
we
haven't talked about any of these in depth, right? All we did was talk about the series as a whole the last time we talked about Black Mirror, what it was and kind of...
Why, do you have something about San Junipero?
No, I just, like I said, like, this is kind of sappy and like, I guess, corny to say, but, like, sometimes things just kind of appeal to me, like, emotionally, and even if it's, like, sort of flawed, if it affects me in a certain way or I relate to it, sometimes if things just kind of, like, make a, like, if they appeal to my heart, then I'm just like, all right. I just sort of liked the idea, and maybe people had a totally different reading of this episode, but I just sort of, like, the idea of forever is both terrifying to me and also beautiful. Like, the way that it's presented in this, like, that these people would choose, like, yes, they're going to die, but they're literally going to, like, live in this sort of, like, fabricated whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they can't be hurt. They can't die. Like, they literally just get to, like, spend eternity forever, like, together. And it's, like, it's, I mean, it's kind of, like, it's on one level, like, I think when we talked about this off the pod, like, you were, like, this, the whole forever thing is, like, pretty terrifying.
Yeah, but
but on another level for me, like, it's also, like, kind of moving. I think.
No, I sort of, on a conceptual level, understand what you're saying,
right.
but it scares me more than more than makes me feel happy.
I guess I'm just, like, kind of sappy and, like...
Yeah, I just thought it was funny. I was reading all these things about that episode with everyone saying, the one Black Mirror episode with a happy ending, and I was like, was that happy? Because that scared me.
But I don't know.
But it is a good... It's an interesting episode.
It kind of reminds me of sort of some of the same ideas of prolonging life after death that the episode Be Right Back from the second season kind of also deals with, which I also rewatched that.
Still have nightmares
about that
one. And that
is a freaking terrific episode of Black Mirror, which was before the Netflix season, yeah. But... Anyway, pretty good crop of episodes, though.
Yeah.
Only two that were kind of duds, four that were really solid, two that were effing just amazing.
I mean, it's like, spoiler alert, this show is going to be probably in my top 10 just on the strength. It could be just on the strength of those two episodes.
Well, those two episodes are two of the best hours of TV, I would say, that I've watched this year. I mean, hands down, if I'm talking to people about what they're watching, right, I kind of just want to be like, have you watched Black Mirror? Did you watch San Junipero?
Yeah.
And did you watch Playtest? Because those
yeah.
two are like...
So, there you have it.
I think we wanted to talk about something kind of weird that we don't really do.
Yeah, real quick.
Once in a blue moon.
Real quick.
We talk about movies sometimes.
We went to the movies.
Well, not together, but we saw the same
movie. No, but we both separately went
to
the movies,
saw
which
Arrival,
is even more
which
amazing.
I'm jealous because I haven't seen it yet, but we won't talk
I
about
did see Arrival.
Because...
Arrival...
Would you say thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
I hear Amy Adams is terrific. Would
she
you
is,
agree?
She is terrific.
Okay.
I would say we could have a really interesting discussion about
well,
Arrival.
When I
go
see,
see it,
I'm going to go see it, and we'll talk about it.
But let's
it
talk
too.
Quickly about Fantastic Beasts.
And where to find them. The whole title.
I'll say this. I've seen all the Harry Potter movies, and I've read the first six Harry Potter books.
You skipped the last book? You really stopped before you could
so,
finish the series? You're going to have to explain yourself on that.
I was in high school... when I read book number 6, I don't remember when I started reading the whole series, but I was just pretty much just as into it as everybody else. Like, I didn't go to the
mm-hmm.
library at midnight or anything, but I was reading them.
But enjoyable, right?
And
like,
then
really good reads.
When the 7th book came out, someone in my class very overtly spoiled it. I don't remember
which
plot
part?
Point it was,
okay.
But I just remember being really angry and being like, well, I guess I don't need to read this stupid book. And I never read it. I've never read the 7th book, which is... almost to my great shame. I feel like I should go back and reread all 7 of them. But anyway, so I went into this movie having not seen or read Harry Potter in a very long time.
Right. It's been what? 2012 or 2011 was the last Harry Potter movie. So it's been about 5-ish years, 4-ish, 4-ish, 5-ish years.
And I was saying this to you when we were talking about this movie briefly. J.K. Rowling wrote the movie...
The screenplay, so yeah, it's her debut as a screenwriter
yeah, and,
for Fantastic Beasts.
And my biggest takeaway, I think, was that she is clearly very talented. Like,
well, yeah.
The movie's not great, but she knows how to build a world
right.
and establish some characters and stoke the flames of the
right.
fan base. And
but do you think it's fair to say that the movie's not great because it's not really a movie so much as a pilot episode? Like, it's almost like
that's
a,
an interesting
it's almost
way to
like
frame
a,
it.
Like a Marvel situation.
It's
where
a little
it's
less
seeding,
Marvel-y, though.
It's seeding for because they originally announced Fantastic Beasts as a trilogy, which was going to give us some backstory because the movie takes place just really fast. Like, it takes place 70 years before Harry Potter goes
yeah.
to school, but like none of the characters, literally none of the characters that we have actually seen or come to know from the original Harry Potter series are in the movie.
You know, I
so
was
it's,
having
it's only tangentially related because
yeah.
it takes place in the same
No,
universe.
I was having a discussion with someone earlier today or yesterday, I don't remember, about how one of the reasons I liked the new Star Wars movie is it didn't feel quite as Marvel-y as
like the seeding as for a lot future of franchise movies was a little bit subtler.
And that's what I was actually referencing when I just said it's less Marvel-y. I was thinking of Star Wars.
I gotcha.
This movie actually was very Marvel-y. Like, it ended and I was, you're clearly just thinking, oh, wait till the next one.
Right. Well, and what I meant to finish my thought was they announced it as a trilogy, and then, like, a week or two before the movie came out, they're like, J.K. Rowling's like, it's going to be 5 movies. And everyone was like, oh, she said it's going to be at least 5 movies. And she's like, no, let me be clear. It is, I remember seeing this tweet. She said, it is 5 movies, full stop, period. Like, I have plotted out 5 movies. It will not be more, it will not be less. It is 5 films.
So I'll say this, I thought it was good. I thought the CGI was great, and the
beasts were very creative.
The beasts looked amazing.
They were creative. And
but I have almost no desire to watch 4 more of these.
What if it was a trilogy, though? Would you be more down if it was just going to be 3?
Well, here's the thing, though. I'm probably going to watch all 5 of them anyway. I mean, I don't really want to, but I probably will. Because it's just something that's not superheroes, and I'm willing to just...
Well, and she's apparently writing the screenplay for all of them, is what I... The last
I'm
thing
sure
I read,
be,
so...
They'll be fine.
She's basically giving us... Well, you know, I don't know if this interests you, but, like, the next movie apparently takes place in Paris.
Cool.
So, like, we get to... But that's the, I think, the thing... Like, I'm not, like... I'm not going to be someone who goes to see this movie at midnight or, like, freaks out. But, like, I do like the Harry Potter world. Like, I think I was telling you before
it's a
we
cool
recorded
world.
That, like, the world is cool. And, like, honestly, as cliche as it is, like, it's something that got me into reading and, like, made me interested in, like, oh, people actually,
in
like,
writing too.
Have to think about writing and, like, come up with...
Yeah.
You know, she's a really interesting, like, talented storyteller. And I thought it was a decent movie. But, like you said, like... You said it's not a great movie. Like, I kind of would argue that it's not really a movie. Like, it's
maybe that's why it's not a great movie.
It's like a piece of a pie that we haven't, the rest of the pie hasn't been baked yet.
I wish the characters were a little more specific, too.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Maybe I'm spoiled by television and how much time you have to work on characters, but they definitely are just archetypes, all of them.
Mm-hmm. I was just into the 1920s New York Jazz Age thing with, like, the... little, like, magic stuff kind of sprinkled in there. That was just... It was just different. It was distinct. It was, like, Harry Potter
It's also really long. It's a little long.
A little bit. Not too bad, though.
No, but it's
I
definitely...
I did think the effects were pretty good, though.
Yeah, no, I was actually really impressed, especially after watching Game of Thrones for the last few years and thinking that some of that stuff was good CGI. I was like... I was like, this was real. This was, like... Really
all right.
Good.
Well, we've been here for about 35 minutes. Is there anything else we want to say or tell the people? Maybe a promise that we possibly could keep.
Here's a promise
for next week. I think we're both going to check out Search Party, at least a little bit of it.
Yeah, sure.
No,
no. Let's do it.
We just keep hearing that it's good, and neither one of us have had a minute to check it out because
here's a promise.
Kind of a surprise.
If you need a ray of sunshine in your life,
I know where this is going.
Just a show.
Oh my god.
Just a
this
show
is becoming like a weekly thing.
That
every
will make
we
you
do.
Feel like the world is good and people are
Supergirl. He's talking about Supergirl. He's dragging it out. Are you? Am I
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a Supergirl. Yeah,
a CW gem.
I should have said no. I'm talking about like Black Mirror.
That's too much.
Supergirl
too
is great
much television. Do you feel like have we hit the saturation point? Do you think
with television?
It's just like it's
no. I'm
so,
more.
It's
we were talking
exhausting.
About this earlier. I think I'm more selective now, so I'm sort of over it. Like I just kind of watch the stuff I want to watch.
Yeah,
and it's I like it that way. Except for Westworld, I'm still watching
I'm not,
Westworld.
Well, yeah, I'm actually not to be quite honest with you, but there, I hear that there's only one episode left, so I guess I have to catch up with the rest of the season. But pretty much, the internet has literally. I mean, the internet spoils everything, but everything I. could have guessed on my own, or everything that people predicted sounds like it came true, so it doesn't feel like I need to watch it. Because it feels like all the reveals I'm going to get to them and be like, oh yeah, this
yeah,
is the thing.
Do you like watching people complete puzzles in front of you? If so, watch Westworld.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Never mind, I'll save that. I'll save that for next time.
Well,
I have a thought about journalism on TV that I'll save.
Save it. Well, what's something you're looking forward to? Give me something pop culture related. The Hamilton mixtape drops on Friday.
I am looking forward to that. Let me say this. Wrote My Way Out. Have you heard this song?
Yeah, it's terrific.
It's amazing. It's got Nas and some guy named like West or something. David West or something like that. I don't remember.
It's great.
Or East. Is it Dave?
David East.
Dave
I think
East.
That's right. Yeah.
And then Lin-Manuel Miranda
has a
verse
on
it. God, it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm sort of back and forth on the mixtape right now because there's some amazing remix original songs and then just like covers.
Mm-hmm.
And the original songs are mostly great and the covers are just like covers.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what the whole thing is like. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Movies are about to get real good. Or I guess they kind of are. I'm a little bit behind. I saw Disney's Moana. Speaking of Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the songs for Disney's Moana. Terrific movie. If you have kids or if you just really like animation and appreciate a nice like movie in like the great Disney tradition, you should definitely check it out. And then there's stuff like Nocturnal Animals, Moonlight,
oh, I
Still Need to
see
Arrival,
I forgot about
La La Land, Manchester by the Sea. So we might kind of touch on these if we catch up. We'll sprinkle these into our pods. This is like the time of year where everyone's like, oh, movies are still good, and TV's not the only thing that's good. So anyway, thanks very much for listening. We hope you had a good holiday. I don't want to make any promises because I feel like we break them a lot, but we'll try our best to be back next week and give you some hot, fresh takes. Maybe we'll talk about Search Party.
Da-na-na.
And or some Amazon stuff that we said we might talk about, which we've never gotten to, such as the third season of Transparent. So say goodbye to the people, Taylor.
Five. Coming right up. Goodbye, people.
Whereas I finished the season in one day. All right, people.
I guess I can only watch Transparent in December, because that's the law.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Foxworthy Podcast.